We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
What's up? What's going on? Welcome in, Hogan Johns, episode 159. Happy summer. Kinda.
A nice rainy summer it's been.
I don't know what season it is. It's like a combination of spring and Texas.
What's the Tom Skilling stat of the day? Since May 1st, we've had a record amount of rain in the Chicagoland area. More on its way, I believe, Tuesday night. It is a Monday.
Great.
Morning.
Yep. More flooding. More stuff to ruin the summer. But when it's not raining, it's 100 degrees.
Yeah, it's coming up later this week.
So we got that,
95
too.
And humid.
That's why. It's like a Chicago spring, which we didn't have. Well, we never have. Now we're getting it in June. But when it's not that, it's southern Texas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where, which, yeah.
Now, the fall weather is quite pleasant nowadays, especially in Bourbonnais. I will say that. But Chicago literally does not have a spring anymore.
Nah. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, it's summer. We don't do podcasts in the summer portion of the NFL season, which is brief. We got a month off. That's typically what we do. But we owed you guys a podcast. We did not get you one after veteran minicamp.
We're busy men.
Very
busy men.
Various reasons. Some personal things.
We're just
things,
busy men.
The move at WGN complicated stuff. Studio space was actually basically non-existent for a month. It's been crazy. Anyway, so we decided we owe you guys a podcast. Here we are. We're going to do a midsummer break edition of Hogan Johns. What the hell do we talk about? Because there's really nothing going on. So we got creative, and I think you're actually going to really enjoy what we do today, because I went through, you know, some key pieces of the Bears roster and kind of projected out potential statistics for the season, and we're going to talk about, it's basically a bunch of over-unders. Will these players reach these stats or not this year? So we should have fun. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, and you can read us at WGNradio.com/Bears. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you read Johnsy. Please rate and review the podcast. If you haven't already, you can do that on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn. You could subscribe for free. It's all there. And we thank you for spreading the word on the podcast. So one quick thing we want to bring up, though. For some reason, I don't even remember how we did it. The last episode we did, we got off on a tangent on throwing out the first pitch. I don't even remember why.
I think it was the Clay Matthews.
Yeah, because he got hit in the face.
Yeah.
And then we somehow diverted into throwing out the
first
pitch.
Fun of Clay Matthews for a little bit.
Yeah. So, randomly, coincidentally, I got asked to throw out the first pitch on Wednesday, coming up at the White Sox game.
This is exciting. Is somebody taking video of this?
Oh, I'm sure.
When's the last time you threw a baseball? Like, literally threw a baseball. I'm not talking just lobbing it to your son. Threw it. Like, put some velocity into it.
Well, I don't know about that. I remember I did, like, the fast pitch thing at Miller Parker a couple of years ago and hit 69 miles an hour, which I was pretty proud of, considering I haven't played baseball in, like, a decade.
Rob Gronkowski would be proud, but you need to...
I was throwing to Jeff Dickerson's son a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Out here at the park, but that... That wasn't really lobbing, because he actually can hit the ball. He wants you to throw it, but I also wasn't throwing it like really hard.
You're not going to be on a pitcher's mound either.
I was probably throwing similar to what I will do on Wednesday. It's not like I'm going to go up there and try to throw 90.
Oh, come on. You're not going to do the full windup? You're going to do the soft toss in?
No, I'm not going to do that either. I'm going to throw a solid throw.
Okay.
But there's a lot of pressure here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, for one, other than the fact that we just did an episode where I was critical of people who can't throw first pitches, thinking that I would ever have to do one.
I hope there is video of this.
I also have a baseball background, so I can't really screw it up. Like, there's no excuses. My only excuse, and I'm not going to use this as an excuse, would be the fact that it is a mound. Mm-hmm. And my pitching days ended before I ever pitched off a mound.
Okay.
I was just an infielder, outfielder.
I think you should do the complete windup and let it rip. See, Come on, when are you going to have a chance to do it again?
Because that's where you get dangerous. That's where all of a sudden...
Oh, you only live once. YOLO. Come on.
You hold on to the ball a little bit too long, and then you throw it to the backstop. And I don't know who else is going to be out there catching for me. Maybe like Lucas Giolito or something. Just like, what's wrong with you, man?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let it rip. Come on.
I have to say, I mean, this is pretty nerve-wracking. I'm nervous right now just thinking about it. I don't get nervous when I go on the air. I don't get nervous when I go on TV.
Let me tell you,
But this is is nerve-wracking.
My son is in the coach's pitch level of that level between T-ball and Pee-wee, whatever you want to call it, right? So I'll be out there pitching to these kids. Mm-hmm. And if they're not hitting it, you start to feel a bit pressure. You have all these parents that are very close, sipping their cocktails and beers at the old park, watching you throw pitches to their kids. And you feel a little bit of pressure.
You can't blow it.
You are going to be on a professional pitching mound amongst fans representing WGN. I'm throwing more pressure on you.
Yeah. I feel it. Now, the difference between that is you can throw multiple pitches. Like, if one gets away from you, you can...
You only have one.
One, yeah.
You better warm up.
Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up since that was a discussion on the last episode.
I'm looking forward to finding a video of this.
Oh, it'll be out there, I'm sure. And,
it's exciting. It's cool. Don't mess it up.
Yeah. Well,
if you short it,
it's gonna be bad.
If you do more than one hopping it in,
no, I'm gonna be mad at myself. Even if I hop it,
one hop. I'll give you one hop. But if you do two,
I can live with if it's a ball.
Okay,
not a strike. I will forever be mad at myself if I hop it in there.
Okay,
or throw it over. I mean, it needs to be caught.
Okay. You're more concerned about the distance, it sounds like.
Well, that shouldn't be a problem. I mean, I know how to throw a ball 65 feet. Right.
You're not going to be like one of those people that go up to... You're going to go exactly on the mound. The people who...
Oh, yeah. I'm going on the mound. Come on. Yeah, I got to go on the mound.
I saw a first pitch at the Chicago Dogs game the other day.
How was that?
It's cool. It's a very intimate setting. But they had a couple first pitches.
Now, do you throw a hot dog instead of a baseball?
This guy should have thrown a hot dog. It went like 8 feet. 8 feet straight down to the ground.
See, that won't happen. I can guarantee
it was
that.
Bad. Like, and people were, they felt bad to laugh because it wasn't like Snoop Dogg where it's kind of funny. This businessman went straight down.
Whoo.
It was bad.
See, I'm thinking when we get done with this podcast here, we need to go outside. Because my wife's not going to catch the ball for me. I don't know who to throw it to. James can't catch yet. I don't know. I got to find somewhere where I can throw the baseball and practice a little bit. Anyway, so you have that to look forward to Wednesday. If you're on social media, I'm sure there'll be videos. Hopefully, it's good. And if it's not, please give me
just represent the podcast well, my
friend.
Yeah,
please give me crap for it if it's terrible. I will gladly take it and deserve it. All right, so here's what we're gonna do on the episode today: a bunch of over unders on the season. Turned out to be 9 players, and I'll give you, as we go along, I will give the reasoning for where I set these numbers on if we go over under. Let's just start with Mitch Trubisky, the quarterback. He's a pretty important player on this team, I'd say. Mitch Trubisky, I set at 3,500 passing yards on the season. Will he go over or under that? And the reasoning for that number, what did he have last year, like 2,100
mm-hmm.
in that terrible offense? But he didn't play the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith and Matt Nagy's offense, this is where I went to. So Matt Nagy was the OC the last two seasons. 2016, in 15 games, Alex Smith was pretty much exactly at 3,500 yards. 3,502. 2017, he was playing at an MVP level last year, 4,000. All right. I'm not expecting him to throw for 4,000 yards, but I thought it was a reasonable expectation. You put the 2,100 in 12 games last season in that awful offense. Offense is upgraded. Weapons are upgraded. the 2016 mark from Alex Smith when he wasn't MVP guy. He was just normal Alex Smith, pretty solid, good quarterback, which I think is what everyone's hoping from Mitch Trubisky this year. That seems like a fair spot. So what do you think?
That is the first season in Alex Smith's how many year career, long career?
Yeah.
That he has surpassed 4,000 yards. So kind
last
of,
year.
Yes.
Right.
So it shows you how hard it is to do. I think it was because there were considerable weapon upgrades around them. Remember the old running joke that Alex Smith can't throw a touchdown pass? The wide receiver is always to the tight end.
Yeah.
It's not too long ago. Now he's an MVP candidate. Now he's making big money with the Redskins. But still, it was his first season over 4,000 yards. I think it's, in terms of the number, it's somewhere in between. So if you just take the averages of the 2 years that Matt Nagy was Alex Smith's offensive coordinator, you get something over 3,700 yards. 3,700 right here. No, it says error now. 3,000.
Ooh, that's not good.
the old calculator says error.
You tried to calculate Trubisky's yardage in your phone, and it came up as error.
I think it was 3,772 yards. So that's the average of the 2 years.
Yeah.
I think somewhere around there is a fair expectation for Mr. Trubisky. So I'm going over the 3,500.
I was a math major. I wasn't, actually, but
we're in the same boat, Johnny.
Yeah. I was also surprised. I kind of forget this. I looked up Jay Cutler's yardage just because, you know, he was in a Bears uniform. So what kind of what we've been used to watching. Mm-hmm. He went over 3,500 yards three times with the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Most recently in 2014 and 2015, he did it. So, especially 2015. That was the good season he had under Adam Gase. It seems doable to me.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it should be a reasonable expectation.
Can I add maybe another question to this? Another number question. Who would you take weapon-wise? So last year, Alex Smith has an MVP-type season.
Mm-hmm.
His top talent around him, Kareem Hunt, obviously the running back, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Albert Wilson. So Mitch Trubisky in this season is going to have Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, and maybe Adam Shane and Trey Burton.
Yeah.
Dare I say that the Bears have given Mitch Trubisky more? Sheer numbers, yes.
I mean, it remains to be seen if Cohen can be as effective as Tyreek Hill with Matt Nagy and how much Nagy clearly loves him. I think it's possible, but that's a high bar, and they don't have Kelce. No.
I get that.
And that's a pretty significant gap, I'd say, how good Kelce is. And, like you said,
I am
for a guy who wasn't throwing a whole lot of touchdowns to wide receivers.
Right.
You know, he had that dynamic.
I am intrigued, though, by the dynamic of the pairing of Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
I just think it's an interesting comparison to make because Alex Smith was fantastic last year in Matt Nagy's second year as offensive coordinator. He was an MVP candidate, and he had decent weapons. Nothing special. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce's special. Tyreek Hill, okay, maybe that's the wrong words to use, but in terms of sheer numbers, in terms of more versatility, I wonder if not the Bears have more. Just saying.
Maybe overall. We'll have to see. The next guy, Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard has gone over 1,100 rushing yards the last two seasons, so it seemed pretty easy to set this one at 1,100 rushing yards because there's a lot of we've had a lot of discussions offseason about how he fits in this offense. Is he going to get as many touches with all the new weapons the Bears have? Is Cohen going to be more involved? There's a lot of questions here. So do you think he goes over 1,100 rushing yards for the third straight season?
I do. I think it's of the ones that you kind of laid out, other than the Trubisky one, I'm pretty confident Mr. Trubisky's going to surpass 3,500. That's kind of a big plateau to set for a guy in his second season. I just think that's where the offense is trending. But Jordan Howard will be a good complement to that. I do think the offensive line is still a relative strength of this team, though people want to be very critical of it. They are good at run blocking. I do like the zone scheme that they will have for Jordan Howard. We know he excels in it. I think that's a safe bet, over 1,100. I don't know how much over, but he could surpass that.
I was shocked at how little Tariq Cohen's numbers were when I went back and looked at him. Do you know how many rushing yards he had last year?
Oh, not many.
Only 370.
He had some games.
But he averaged over four. He averaged 4.3 yards per carry.
Even that's some misleading, too. He had that stretch where he was averaging less than a yard per carry last year. An awful stretch of games where, you know, he was dancing in the backfield and the cutback lanes were taken away from him. People were onto him. They had film on him. So give us your numbers on him.
Well, 370 rushing yards, 353 passing or receiving yards. It just seemed like he was more impactful than that.
Well, I think he was.
But that gets back to the conversation we had that they just didn't know how to use him.
Yeah, yeah. He also had some big plays taken off the sheet for various reasons.
Well, the reason I bring that up is because I'm just curious how much more involved he's going to be in the running game. He only had 87 rushes last season. So does that take anything away from Jordan Howard? I'm skeptical that Howard's going to get over 1,100 rushing yards.
Really? How much?
And I think there's going to be a lot more passing. I don't know that he's going to get as many carries. And I think Cohen's going to get more carries. And this is not a referendum on what I think about Jordan Howard. I think he's a really good running back.
Kareem Hunt still led the NFL in rushing last year.
That's a fair point. That's a fair
point. And by spreading them out, I think things will open up for Howard.
That's also a fair point.
So he'll come across.
No, I'm going to stick to my gut on this one. I don't think he has a bad year. I don't think we look at the end of the season, we go, what happened to Jordan Howard?
I think if he has under 1,100 rushing yards, it's going to drop him out of the top 10 rushing, right?
Sure, but
he better have like 15 touchdowns then.
Yeah, maybe.
We better have 500 yards receiving.
It's also good to point out his durability.
Yeah.
But he also runs a style where you do kind of wonder how quickly that's going to catch up to him. He's still only 22 years old, though. No, that's not right. I was looking at Cohen's page. Check that. How old is Jordan Howard now?
Error.
Yeah, error on the calculator. Because he came into...
He's old enough.
He came in the league a little bit older. Oh, he's only one more year older. He's 23. So, only a little air. All right. I also threw this one out on Twitter before we started the podcast. 307 votes already in. 76% going with the over.
Smart people. Smart people.
No, we'll see. Again, I don't think he's going to be bad. I just think there's going to be a lot of things at play, and it's all going to add up to a little bit less for Jordan Howard, who, by the way, only barely got over 1,100 last year.
That offense was awful.
but he was the focal point of it. All right. What do we got next?
Well, Tariq Cohen, this is a good segue, as they say.
Yes.
Want me to say it?
Okay, so go ahead.
Tariq Cohen, 500 rushing yards, 500 receiving yards.
And remember, I just gave you the numbers from last year. 370 rushing yards, 353 receiving yards.
Mm-hmm.
For this one, I'd say that both of those better be over 500.
I'm going to say under rushing, over receiving.
So you still don't think he's going to be that big of the...
I think he has over 1,000 yards from scrimmage offensively. But I think a bulk of that will be as a pass catcher.
I'd like to know, go back to those plays where he just barely stepped out of bounds or was down at like the half-yard line. Well, this would really be applied to those times he was out of bounds. Would he have been over 500 rushing yards on like those three times?
He would have been closer, yes.
He just stepped out of bounds and like lost out on 40, 50 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, he would have definitely been closer.
I'm going to go over on both of these.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We know he's going to be all over the field. We saw that in minicamp, but I don't think that was a diversion. He's going to be everywhere. He's going to be on the field a lot with Jordan Howard, too.
I should have done, because we a couple times during the season, we did over, under percentage of plays, because like they wouldn't use him.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, I think one week we were like, will he play 50% of the snaps? That also better be over.
Yes, yes, yes. He's going to be on the field an awful lot. So I think he's going to be used as a receiver quite significantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gives you so many options. I would keep him out there.
Well, you could just tell that Nagy loves using him already. So, yeah, I'm going to go over on both of those.
I'm going to go under receiving rushing yards. I don't think much, maybe 450 rushing yards, but I think he's going to have 600, 700 receiving yards. I really do. Big factor in the screen game on the field at the same time as Jordan Howard. Could be quite the option on third downs as well.
All right. And then speaking of receiving, Allen Robinson, the Bears' new wide receiver, the big kahuna, number one, 80 catches. I tried to be conservative with this one, but I still feel like that's a lot.
Yes, I'm going under.
You think so?
I think he comes in around 65, 70, 60 to 70.
Well, the reason I said it at 80 is because that's his career high.
Mm-hmm.
He had 80 for the Jaguars in 2015.
He had a lot of yards with that 80 catches.
He had 1,400 yards that season and 14 touchdowns. That was his one massive season that he had.
And I don't want 60 to 70 to sound like a slight on the guy. I just don't think he's going to lead the team in targets. That's going to be Trey Burton. I think, again, going back to the point when we were talking about Mitch Trubisky, there's a lot of options. Like I was saying about Tariq Cohen, he's going to be on the field an awful lot. I think he's going to have a high average, yards per catch, maybe over 10, maybe over 12. I think that's a great sign, but I would take 60 to 70 catches from an Allen Robinson in this offense, especially if he's not going to be the most targeted receiver. I think that's going to be Trey Burton. I really do.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on this one, too. Now, I think the hope is he's got a better quarterback than he did in Jacksonville. That can maybe give him the ball a little bit more, but yeah, I think he comes under the 80 too. I think there's only so many touches to go around.
Would you take 68 catches, 1,100 yards receiving season from him?
Oh, if he goes over the 1,000 yard mark, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I almost did yards on this one, but we've been doing a lot of the yards, so I just went to catches. But I would hope that he gets over 1,000 yards.
Yes.
And then touchdowns, at least 7, 8.
Yeah.
All right? Somewhere around there.
That's fair.
Yeah. But you're right. I don't think he's going to be relied on to be, you know, a guy that needs to put up 100 catches in the season.
We should clarify. He's going to be a focal point of this offense. There's going to be plays that are run right through him. But there's a lot of options for Mr. Trubisky to throw the ball around, and everyone knows that Trey Burton's position, that tight end position that he plays, that hybrid position, a lot of things in Nagy's offense runs right through it.
Yeah.
He's going to be the most targeted receiver.
All right, last offensive one. I went to rookie wide receiver now. Anthony Miller, 35 catches for the rookie out of Memphis. Now, do you know, I went to the last second-round pick of the Chicago Bears that was a wide receiver. Do you remember number 17?
Mm-hmm.
Alshon Jeffrey had 24 catches his rookie season, but only played in 10 games. I mean, that's the hard thing about doing these over-unders. You don't know how injuries are going to affect things, and then all of a sudden the stats get really skewed, but Alshon only played in 10 games as a rookie, put up 24 catches, 367 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So I thought for Miller, 35 made sense.
What we do know, yes, we can't predict the injury situation, but we can look at the roster right now. Mm-hmm. Allen Robinson, Kevin White, Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton, Adam Shaheen, Tariq Cohen. That's 6 players before we get to Anthony Miller. Anthony Miller is going to play. He might play a lot. But again, there's only so many balls to be thrown around.
Might have to pull that comment. Yeah.
Hey, now.
Here's kind of a bold prediction in the middle of June here.
June 26th?
I'm not so sure when we start the season that list that you just read off is in that order.
Why did they have an order?
Well, you said they were all ahead of Miller.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I think Miller might be ahead of some of those guys by the time the season starts.
That's fair. Even then, there's a lot of numbers. Say he moves up to number 4. So the 4th leading receiver on the Chiefs last year.
Okay.
Albert Wilson. 42 catches, 554 yards.
Okay.
Fifth leading, DeMarcus Robinson, 21 catches, 212 yards. Albert Wilson's no longer with the Chiefs. I'm just saying.
I think
you might be dead on. Yeah, that number.
I think it's somewhere in that area, and I'm just going to get bold on that one and say, yeah, I think he gets over it.
So I'll say under.
Because I think they like him a lot, and yeah. I think I like him a lot, too. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to overperform.
Okay. I do like him a lot. Can I say dead on? Right on?
Dead on. Dead on. 35.
Okay.
You're going with that?
Yeah, I think he's going to hit that range.
I didn't put one for Kevin White, but where would you put his catches?
Same. Same.
Somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he had 19 in 4 weeks.
They also... They're, made a concerted effort to throw him the ball on every quick screen imaginable.
Yeah. I'm going to go under on that one.
Yeah. I think he's in the same range of there. Okay. But if I had to take White or the rookie, give me the rookie surpassing White's totals this year.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with your order of leading receivers. I think it wouldn't surprise me by the time the season starts, Miller's higher on that list.
Dare I say he's a more polished route runner already than Kevin White?
We'll see when they get to camp and the pads are on and they get jammed by actual cornerbacks. All right, let's move to the defensive side of the football. Got a few of these too. Leonard Floyd, is this the year he gets over the hump and gets a double-digit sacks? I'm setting the sack number at 9.5.
I'm going to say over, only because if not now, then never.
That's
fair. I have my doubts about his pass rushing development. Some of his best plays last year came on stunts, and I know that's there's a lot of value in that. He's quick when you want to twist the guys up front. He gives you a lot in coverage. But just straight off the edge... Like, he had that one sack in the preseason. Was it last year against the Broncos? You're like, oh, here
it was like the first play.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I saw that again the entire year. He's hurt a lot. I want to say over because I think they will unleash him a bit more. I think he will have more pass rushing opportunities this year. I don't know if he's got a great complement to him on the other side, so he'll...
That's one thing I worry about.
Yeah.
Are there enough blockers eaten up? Because whether or not he deserves it, he's going to get the attention from the offense in terms of blocking schemes because he's the best pass rusher the Bears have on the edge. On the edge, because they got some guys on the defensive line who can get after it. That's the question mark to me is, can that defensive line eat up enough blockers to free him, get him one-on-one situations? Because I don't know that he can defeat double teams. I mean, that's hard to do even if you're Von Miller.
Yes.
But that's one of my concerns of the season, is if they're able to get extra attention over to Leonard Floyd, where the hell are the sacks coming from? And... if they are doing that a lot, how is he going to get to double-digit sacks? They seem to come in bunches for him. He sort of disappears for a couple weeks. Then he shows up with a big game where he gets like 2.5 or something like that.
Well, he's a threat. Well, many teams are aware of him. They do keep tight ends in for him occasionally. You know, they're aware of his speed. They run him out a bit, but I know what you're saying. You want these plays to be finished.
But you're right. This is kind of the do or die season for Leonard Floyd on whether or not he's going to be a special player or just a guy.
Yes.
Because
I think he's more than just a guy already, but
not if he can't be on the field.
Yeah.
10 games last year, 12 games a year before, 4.5 sacks last year. It's got to be better for a first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got to be
top 10 pick.
Yeah, it's got to be better. And by the way, he's turns 26 in like the first week of the season. What day's opening day? Or week one opener? September. I can't turn my calendar over here.
You got it there. You keep flipping up on October
9th.
That's his birthday?
His birthday's the 8th. The first game's the 9th. So he'll be 26 week one. It's time to get going here.
Yeah.
Time to get going here. I'm going to say, though, and this is the asterisk, if he plays 16 games, which is a huge if, I think he gets there. But I think it's like right on the number. I think it's like 10 sacks on the number if you play 16. Can he play 16 games? Well, how can I say that? Probably not.
No, you can't bank on that. But
so I'm going to go under for this one.
I'm going over because, again, if not now, I don't know if we're ever going to see it.
I'm just kind of using like, I mean, I just don't think he's going to play 16 games. History, albeit a short history, tells us he won't. All right, how about the other sack guy? He's not even really supposed to be a sack guy, but he is. Akeem Hicks.
7.5.
7.5 sacks.
This was the toughest one to consider because, again, he's not supposed to be your sack guy, like you said.
But he's shown the ability to do it the last couple seasons. Yeah. Here's your sack numbers the last couple years, and this is why I put it at 7.5. 2016, and by the way, give him a lot of credit. He's played all 32 games for the Bears since he signed here.
Can I add something? You know that NFL top 100 list? Can we just call it a sham?
Yeah, he should be on that list.
Yes, complete sham. I've seen players make a mockery of it.
Yeah.
So don't take that to heart, listeners or whoever you are out there. Just ignore it.
Well, he is. I think we learned with the Pro Bowl last year that Akeem Hicks is criminally underrated. But he's playing for a team that's not getting a lot of attention, and deservedly so right now.
It's fair.
So maybe they'll get more attention this year if they can step it up on the offensive side of the football. Maybe the defense will get more praise, more attention. All right, so 7 sacks in 2016, 8.5 last year. And this is a guy that's more of a run stuffer. So I set it right there in the middle.
I like the number. I really like the number. 7 sacks from him. It's a fantastic year for Akeem Hicks. I think he's going to have another fantastic year.
Yeah. I mean, here's the difference between... Okay, I'll use the same logic I just used on Leonard Floyd. If he plays 16 games, yes, I think he gets over 7.5 sacks. So the second question is, will he play 16 games? Well, unlike Leonard Floyd, he has shown the ability to do that the last couple mm-hmm. years. He has done that the last two seasons. And he's played through injuries. He's played through some significant injuries. Remember when we were in Green Bay last year, they weren't sure if he was going to play because something popped up and he was like a game time decision. And he gutted that out.
Yeah.
And there were times last year where you could tell he wasn't 100%. But
he plays a lot, too. He does not take many breaks.
Well, he's one of those guys that John Fox would talk about owies versus injuries.
Yeah.
And he would play through the owies.
Right.
Not everybody plays through the owies. Akeem Hicks will do that. There's no reason to think, unless he suffers an actual major injury, that he won't play. He'll play 16 games. And I think he goes over 7.5 again.
I think they need to spell him more. I mean, he had some games where he's playing nearly all the snaps.
But some guys like that and want that and don't care.
But you need sometimes that extra burst on a third down.
Sure, sure.
You know what? And I
don't know if they're going to have the depth to do that, though.
I think Jonathan Bullard and Roy Robertson Harris are going to take some, I don't say major.
Well, Bullard's going to be one of your starters,
but bigger steps this year.
Well, I agree with that, too.
Well, they can handle a bit more. They can handle 10 more snaps per game.
So did you go over or under on this one?
I'll go over.
All right. How about Mr. Kyle Fuller, the guy with the huge paycheck now?
Yeah. What was your number again?
3.5 interceptions.
What does the half count for?
Well, cause
I know.
You either go 3 or 4.
We're gambling
here. It just makes
it easier. I know. We're gambling here. I know. I'm going under.
You're going under. So this is a guy who has been in the league now for 4 years. His 2016 season was wiped out completely. He had 4 interceptions as a rookie, almost all those early.
Yep.
2 interceptions in 2015 and 2 interceptions in 2017. So the 3 years he's played, he's gotten at least 2. I agree with you. I'm going to go under. And the reasoning is, as well as he was playing last year, they kept throwing the ball at him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some guys like Prince Amukamara does not have a lot of interceptions in his career. But he at least has the excuse of they don't throw at him a lot.
Yeah, my guy's covered.
How are you supposed to intercept a pass that's not thrown your way?
Yeah.
Last year, Kyle Fuller had a ton of passes thrown his way over and over and over again. And there were times where he was still dropping them.
Mm-hmm. He gives there's more cushion involved in his coverage. He likes to break on the ball,
mm-hmm.
which is fair.
But that should lead to
yes.
You being able to jump some passes and picking them off, and that's still the one part about. I'm not against what they did in matching the contract that the Packers threw out there, but for a guy that doesn't intercept a lot of passes, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. So I set it at 3.5 because it's sort of like Leonard Floyd. Is this ever going to happen, or where you become an elite corner that's picking passes off?
Five or six picks. No, I don't. Maybe he'll have one of those years. Maybe he will. I take three interceptions, three or four. That's why it's a good number, 3.5. You thought these things through, Adam Hogue.
Oh, so now you like the half.
There's no such thing as a half interception, but yes.
Well,
I know. It's gambling. Three picks for Kyle Fuller next year. That's my prediction. So under.
Yeah, I'm going to go under two. I think it'll be two or three again.
Yeah, he'll probably still have a very good year.
Well, he had a good year last year.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, that we talk about a guy who's not necessarily a shutdown corner, doesn't pick off a lot of passes, and still got the money that he got.
Well, it's the desperation of the position. Cornerbacks always get paid.
They get paid. All right. Finally, in terms of players, Roquan Smith, rookie out of Georgia. I set this high on purpose because I have high expectations for him.
Yep.
Being a centerpiece of the defense, a guy who's going to be around the ball a ton. 90 tackles. 90 tackles for Roquan
Smith. Are these coach review tackles or press box?
Great question.
Tackles. Press back statistician.
Both are kind of unreliable, though.
Yeah, well, it's not like an official stat, right? Is that what the word is?
All right, just for clarity, we are going to go with the press box statistics,
okay,
which are skewed, but sometimes the coaches are too because they like award.
Yes. My concern with his production level, I think there's going to be a little bit of a rotation at first. I don't know. It could continue. You talk about like having problems with your pass rush. Some of your best pass rushers are blitzing inside linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny Trevathan, Roquan Smith, who I think is very good, the tape shows it, and Nick Kwiatkowski. They could be your best pass rushers, and if that pass rush problem persists, they're going to be on the field a lot more. What happens to their snaps and their play counts, I don't know. That's for Vic Fangio to figure out. But I think Nick Kwiatkowski is going to have a role somewhat still in this defense, especially early on. So that's going to hurt his production. I still think Roquan Smith is going to play a lot, though. I'm going over, especially if we're going combined.
Yeah, the more I think about this, I actually think I set this too low. I probably should have set it at 100.
Okay. I think he's over that, too.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he gets somewhere between 100 and 110 tackles on the season.
So Jarrell Freeman is one in 12 games for the Bears in 2016. 110 combined tackles.
Yeah. And how many games?
12.
Yeah, that's not even a full season.
So he'll get his production. He'll be on the field. Now, I don't know. My concern with, I don't want to call it a concern, is I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, how Vic Fangio plays his inside linebackers. He's going to have roles for all three of them, I believe. He's going to need some of them to be pass rushers in certain situations. It's going to be interesting to see how he does it.
Yeah, now that I think about this, I don't think I set this high enough because he's...
All right, reset it.
Well, I just did, 100.
100? Like, well, I still over. Okay.
110. How high are we going to push this?
Over.
100, okay. Well, I just said 100, between 100 and 110. So I'll set there.
He's around there.
Yeah.
He's in that vicinity.
Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps up the...
See ya.
The player. Well, should we do a win total?
Oh, do we dare?
Where is the Bears' win total? I did not look this up before the podcast. Where
is it still 5.5 out there?
Is that what it was? According to the Westgate Superbook... 6.5. That's what I thought it was.
Okay.
Bears, 6.5 over under for wins.
Over.
Yeah, I think so too.
And not even being completely optimistic here. I think there's going to be a lot of growing pains for Mr. Trubisky in his second year and first in Matt Nagy's offense. But is the NFC North good or overrated?
I think it's overrated.
How?
Well, let me clarify. I think it's both. I think it's a good division, but I also think it's overrated.
So it doesn't have a special team. It has maybe one special player. I don't think there's a special team.
Well, I think that I think the Packers take a step back this year, and the Lions don't really scare me. They're a tough team to beat both times you play them. That's why I still think I think the division's still good.
Yeah,
it's not a bad division by any means. But I don't think the Packers are a Super Bowl contender.
Vikings?
I don't think the Lions are a Super Bowl contender. I think the Vikings are a Super Bowl contender, but I also think they're set up for potentially a hangover from what happened last year.
Yeah.
And
well, you hope your new quarterback helps.
Well, the new quarterback,
I think
Kirk Cousins is an upgrade, even though I have kind of been negative on him a lot on this podcast over the years. But he's an upgrade over what they had. I think you miss Pat Shurmur a little bit, but I also really like John DeFilippo. We've never seen him be an OC before, so I don't know. But there's going to be some growing pains there. I wouldn't be surprised that defense kind of takes a step back a little bit.
Yeah, they're getting old.
Just getting a little bit older. The window closes quickly for teams like that, which is why I think it was right to give Kirk Cousins the money.
Right, it closes quickly if you don't have a special quarterback.
You got to go do it.
And,
and in 2 years, that's probably going to look ridiculous how much they paid him. But you needed him this year because this is probably your last chance.
Yeah, you got a 2 or 3 year window here. What did Cousins get? 3 years, right? Fully guaranteed?
Yeah.
First ever. But yeah, this is their window. If not now, again, like the Leonard Floyd argument, if not now, never.
Well, for this over under win total projection for the Bears, it's games like that. Are the Bears going to be good enough to win a game like the Vikings at home on Monday Night Football? Last year, they almost won the game.
Yep.
They had the rookie quarterback starting his first game. They had to pull out some trickery. But they were in that game. They had a chance to win. So, are they going to be better this year, offensively, to pull that win off? I would not be surprised
They're better talent-wise. Just on paper, just looking. We don't know how it's all going to play out. On paper, they're significantly better talent-wise. Their philosophy is better. They're actually going to try to score points, Adam. It's crazy, huh?
That seems like a good strategy in football.
Put the ball in the end zone. Go figure. Huh?
Well, yeah. So my only hesitation about the 6.5 is that it almost seems too easy. Like, everyone's going to look at, okay, they have a top 10 defense and their offense is going to be way better. How do they not win at least 7 games?
Yeah. No, I get you.
Response to that would be, have you watched this team over the last 7 years?
You know, NFL's crazy. I mean, look at the whole Buccaneer situation. Jameis Winston's about to be suspended. First game back could be the Bears game.
Mm-hmm.
What's it going to be? I mean, I had that game down as a potential win in the first place. I'm not high in the Bucs, but some of the teams on the Bears schedule that outsiders are in love with, I think some of those teams are overrated. Like the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, here's
an overrated team.
Here's what's crazy. Because I keep hearing about how tough the Bears' schedule is. I can go down this over-under list. Okay, they play the Cardinals. 5.5 wins. That's worse than the Bears. Jets. They play the Jets this year. 6. Dolphins. 6. Buccaneers. 6.5. Giants. They play the Giants this year?
Yes.
Yeah, they go to New York. 6.5. Bills. 6.5. And who else they play? Seahawks, 8. Lions, 8. Okay, so that's how many teams are 500 or below just based off the Vegas totals? That's Lions, where you play twice, the Seahawks, the Bills, the Giants, the Bucks, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Cardinals. So that's 8 teams. It's 9 games because you play the Lions twice. That's over half your schedule is against teams that Vegas has at either 500 or below.
Parity.
I would consider all of those types of games that the Bears can win
Absolutely. So that's 9 games.
But also lose, because we've seen that over the years. Yes. But winnable games.
That's a great argument.
That's a great argument by me.
He's getting excited.
Off the top of my head, that's what you get here. And, you don't get that from this guy.
Adam Jones!
I picked the winner that day.
I'm just kidding. Yeah,
I picked the winner that day. That was a win over the Vikings, was it not? Yeah.
I always forget which game that is.
Yeah, that was the game I think Jordan Howard ran wild in his rookie year at home.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Or is it Josh McCown? I can't remember. They're just all flowing together.
No, McCown would have been pre-Hogan Johnson.
So he was gone?
I think.
It would have been great to get on this podcast.
He still would. We can get him.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Text him.
All righty.
That's fun.
That was good. I mean,
cautiously optimistic, people. It's how we feel.
I feel like break. I can't wait for camp to start, because we've been having these same conversations about like cautiously optimistic for months now.
Yeah.
Really, since they signed Allen Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And we started seeing what the roster looked like. You're going, oh, that's a pretty good signing. Ooh, Roquan Smith, that's a pretty good draft pick.
Oh, this makes sense.
All this stuff. Ooh, there's a real offense out there. I mean, that was, to me, the big takeaway from minicamp OTAs. There wasn't a whole lot to break down. There really wasn't any major storylines. Nobody was holding out. Knock on wood, nobody really got hurt. You know, no major injuries.
All we saw was a defense that is built on continuity, and an offense that's going to be very, very, very different than last year.
Right. In a good way.
Yes.
So it's going to be fun to be in Bourbonnais and see all that play out with the pads on, and then we'll actually have some storylines and some things to discuss in 5 preseason
games. It'll be here before we know it, my friend.
All right. Well, so here's the game plan for us. Very happy we were able to get you this podcast, because we usually do one right after mini camp, and then we say goodbye for 5 to 6 weeks before camp starts. The Bears open camp on July 19th. So put that on your calendars. That'll be our next podcast. That's our season premiere, because that's usually when we flip over the seasons, at least for us. Our season premiere, season 4 already of the podcast.
Wow.
Which will be fun. And that's July 19th, report date. Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace will have the press conference. There'll be a lot to react to. And in a big upset, I believe Adam Johns will actually be in the United States of America on that day.
Don't hold your breath. But yes, I'll be there. We're back. No Ireland trip this year. Be a long preseason.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. So I'm actually excited about it.
So we're less than a month away.
Yeah.
It's June 25th right now. July 19th is the date. It's been fun. So, I guess technically we're saying goodbye to season 3 of Hogan Johns right now.
Hmm. Do you want to play anything from Fox?
No.
We should retire everything.
Oh, come on. He's going to give us great sound bites on ESPN about how he won games with Tim Tebow.
I won't be watching that.
Okay.
I mean, if our listeners want to send those in.
Yes. Yeah, please keep us posted if something good pops up.
Siesta.
By the way, I also, because I do take listener feedback seriously, and we've got enough of it, I got rid of the birds chirping.
People hated that.
I mean, I was kind of having fun because people hated it, and I was playing it more, but
it just came in hot and loud.
The hate was real. The hate was real on the Twitter world soundbite. So I won't play it anymore.
You're man of the people.
Man. No, that's Pat Tomasulo.
All right, you ready for Wednesday? Warm up that arm?
Oh, man. Now I got to think about that again.
No.
I'm nervous, man.
Be sure to tweet at him. Offer words of encouragement.
Yeah, be nice.
Put the pressure on.
I'm going to go outside right now and start throwing.
Over, under, on bounces into home plate.
We'll set it
1.5.
No, I'll set it at 1.5. Do I bounce it or not? I don't think I will.
I think you're going to have a stand-up catch to the right.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
So a little bit high and tight on a right-handed batter?
Yeah.
Okay, I can live with that. I just don't want to bounce it. I've heard, though, that when you go out there, it looks way farther than you think it's going to look.
Your heart's going to be pounding.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Holy Moses.
I just don't want one of those. Right. All right, guys. We will talk to you July 19th. Thanks for being loyal listeners. Follow us on Twitter in the meantime. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. We'll talk to you when camp starts in Bourbon A.
And Carlos Santos.